On this episode of The Badge and Beyond, we may be discussing domestic violence, mental health issues, suicide, and self-harm.
If you would like support and someone to talk to, the right avenues in your local area would be appreciated for you to have a look at those options. Please make use of avenues such as Lifeline on 13 11 14. And also for domestic violence hotline 1-800-RESPECT. So viewer and listening discretion is advised.
Welcome everyone to The Badge and Beyond.
Hello Anthony, how you going buddy?
Hi Danny. Good to talk to you today.
Mate, fantastic.
That was so natural.
It was, see? We're getting this stuff down pat. Well today we've decided we're going to talk about a few things, and one of the ones I think we will visit are our weirdest encounters, maybe spooky encounters. Does anything come to mind in this kind of, we're getting close to Halloween, so you know it's kind of fitting. Any kind of spooky stories that come to mind?
Ooh. Look, I think everybody's got a few, right? And sometimes they're not the one that you traditionally think of. Like, I know one of the patrols I worked in, we had a cemetery, and you know, you go through the cemetery, and what the weird thing is what you'd find in the cemetery, like just it's not, I didn't see any of the, you know, you hear these stories about devil worshippers and people trying to raise people from the dead and have all these seances and stuff. I never saw that, but it was just in the distance you see people scampering, you know, and you kind of drive through a drive around, you see people running and you're like, what are you doing? And you never kind of, usually it's either they're too far away or whatever else. You don't get there, you don't see it. But I've heard from a bunch of different cops, like different stories, of some weird and wonderful things. Everything from in that particular cemetery during the day, even we'd have lots of robberies that people would be robbing the people that would come to visit their deceased loved ones. But also right up to, hey, people seeing the weirdest, most wonderful things. But I think when I think about Halloween, there's one job that came back to me for where we were working in the Campsie Command.
Yeah.
And this lady had called us because she's basically being stalked and harassed by her ex-husband. And she's in a house in the Campsie Command. And I think this night we'd been there bloody 6 or 8 times. Like, and it's hard to know if she's like a bit paranoid and hearing noises, excuse me, or if it's a, you know, like if it's real, right? But she, all I know is she's really scared. And so I think the last time I went down there was like 4:30 in the morning. And there was a dog squad guy I knew that turned up, and, you know, we're kind of like, oh, do you get the dog out? Do you not? And, you know, I spoke to her and she's like, oh, I heard something, but I'm not sure. And the dog squad guy was kind of at the end of his shift. I'm like, oh, don't worry about it, mate. Don't worry. Just go. He's gone. And then, you know, I'm just about to get in the car and she calls us back. She's like, oh, no, he's definitely outside. I'm like, okay, I'm still here. I'll go. But I'm the supervisor. I'm by myself. So I'm like, all right, I'll go have a look. I don't mind doing a search by myself. Done it heaps of times. Not a problem. Except I didn't know what was in the backyard.
What time is it now?
It's now like that 4:30 in the morning. It's like everybody's tired. Yeah. That's the time when, like, if you're going to do something, that's probably the time to do it. All the other cars are back in the station doing their paperwork. And I know I'm kind of like by myself out there. That's fine. But I'm like, okay, she says she's heard something around the back. And I go to the front door and she's locked herself in the front door. She's got the security thing there. She's like, oh, you can just go around the back. And I walk down this side passage and I open onto this. It's like a flipping jungle. Like, you can't see from the side passage any of the fence line. You can't even see the middle of the yard because seemingly it looks like they've been growing palms and jungle ferns. And it's, it looked like something out of one of the scary horror movies. And of course, it's like starting to get foggy now. And I'm like, I can hear noises, but I don't know if it's rats. I don't, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, it's probably just a rat. Or maybe it's a cat. Or maybe it's him. And maybe he is a psychopath waiting to get me. And what's going on? And no one's going to be able to find me. And every time you move, I'm brushing up against fronds, like palm fronds and things. So there's like, I'm getting this constant sensation down my arms and noises. And I'm like, I can't hear him, but he can hear me. I'm out in his spot. And it just keeps getting like foggier and stuff. And there's like a fountain in the background. Like she's got like a water. Yeah, oh no. I'm like, so there's this trickling of water. I'm like, what am I doing here? But I'm, yeah, of course, trying to, oh, yeah, I've got this.
Of course you have.
Yeah, I did the best I could to clear it. Nothing there. And we didn't get any other calls that night or anything else. But I just remember going, this is like something out of a horror movie. Like totally just fog and just.
Well, that's the thing. So you can't show. You're even worried about jumping on the radio and going, okay, yeah. Can I get another car? A little bit scared.
There is that point, right? Like, don't ever think the cops don't get scared, because
yeah,
they do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's just a whole bunch of times where I used to have this thing where I remember going to what turned into a siege, and it's like my first day back from leave, and I'm like, oh man, this is the last thing I need right now. And I'm like, I know I've got a fairly junior crew on. And they're all like, you can hear them on the radio, like, oh, what do we do? So I'm like, this is my first siege that I'm managing as an acting inspector. But I'm like, I got to show that I've got it cool. So yeah. I'm all trying to like make jokes and stuff and just like, oh, calm down, kids, we're all good on the inside. I'm like, oh, crap, what have I got to do? And, you know, and yeah, so you can never show as in a leadership position that you're scared, right?
It's a good skill to have later on in life, that's for sure. That definitely comes in handy.
Yeah, negotiating with teenage kids, I find that helps. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Take no prisoners.
What about you? Like, what's your number one?
The one that stands to mind is, and it could have ended very badly, but I was working, funnily enough, I was in the crime management unit, so I was working in domestic violence. I was the team leader there, and it was one of those days again in our station where all the cars were flat out, really serious jobs. I remember it was raining pretty heavily, so there were some serious car accidents as usual. And so they called this job a number of times over the inner. When you're sitting in the office, you can hear the police radio broadcasting jobs. And even though the section I was in weren't first responders, we can still hear, the whole station can hear what you're doing. And they called this job about, it come from one of the hospitals. And they said, can we get someone to go and check on the welfare of this patient? She hasn't turned up for pretty serious surgery that she needed to have. And they want to make sure she's okay. Mm. And because she has a 2-year-old child or 1-year-old child, so they wanted to make sure everything's okay. And I got called once, called twice. I looked at my partner, I go, do you want to go to this? He goes, you know what, yeah, it's been bothering me how it's been playing. So, all right, go get a car, we'll jump in, we'll go do this job. So we clock onto the radio, say, we'll take it. So we jump in, start driving towards, and it's hammering rain, whatever. And the ambos have been called as well, to just in case something's gone wrong. And I roll up to this house, and it's not what I'm expecting. The grass is taller than me, right? It's just very, very, very high grass. I can see the ambos at the front of the house. They haven't gone in. It looks quite dilapidated, but all the windows are boarded up.
Yep.
Right, so you can't see into the house.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay. I looked at the ambos. They're like, so I'm assuming they needed to force entry because they're just standing at the front. So I go, and the door's open. So I'm like, all right. So I open the fly screen door, go in.
And right at the time you're going in the door.
Yeah.
What's going through your mind? Because I know I'm listening to this and I'm thinking like, I know where I would be with that.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's a deceased. I'm thinking someone's passed away inside. But, your senses are up. You're looking for smells and certain flies on different...
Yes.
You're looking for all these kind of things in your head, right? But because the ambos threw me off, because I didn't go in, I assumed they were locked out or something had happened.
The ambos are just smarter than us.
Yeah, that day they were very smart. So then I go in and there's a hallway, right? Mm. And there's like bedrooms to each, I'm assuming they're bedrooms to each side, but it's very dark because again, all the windows are boarded up. And I don't, There's no real explanation as to why this is the case. But someone's living in this house. So I scream out, police, police, anyone here? No answer, no answer. So the ambulance looking at me like, all right, I guess I'll go in, right? So me and my partner walk in. Now, because it's daylight, we haven't brought the torches down.
Yeah, no.
So cold. Do you know what I mean? And I look to my right, and I can see a bedroom, but I can see a mass on the bed. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm assuming this person has probably passed away on the bed, okay? So I go in, and I'm like, I really would like some light. I'm looking at my partner, and I'm about to ask him to go get the torch or something. So I call out, are you okay? It's the police. And I put my hand on the mass, right?
Why would you do that?
And all of a sudden, this head just pops up. Right, so the body's like this. It just goes up like this. Like, whoop. Then it turns its head towards me, and I'm like, what the hell is this? And I swear, I reach for my holster. am I shooting zombies? And it's just this matty hair, right? And it was an old, very old woman. And there was no colour to the eyes. It was just white.
Oh.
And it just looks, and it's trying to make sounds, and it just grabs my arm. And I'm I look at my partner, he's just like this. Ambers have now walked back outside. And I'm thinking to myself, it's a zombie, die, die, die. I don't know what the hell's going on. And it ends up, it's a person who, for whatever reason, has no colour to her eyes and is a mute. So the sounds she's making aren't the normal sounds. So she's just grabbing onto my arms, trying to feel what I am. And so then I've clicked back into reality and started to reassure her, it's okay, are you okay, are you hurt? And she's just like, but there's no comprehension of what I'm saying. It will make sense later as to why. And I'm like, Ambos, can you come and just check this person if they're okay? They really don't want to do that because they're terrified.
Secretly, you're like, I just want to make sure it has a pulse and it's not a zombie.
Yeah. So they come in and then we're like taking off the curtains and stuff, trying to bring light so they can do their work. Now, the call came over for a woman that was in her 30s and a child that's like one. I've got a person who's, I don't know, 150, right? So I don't know what's happening here. And then, we better go clear the other rooms. So one room's a bathroom, a very, very filthy bathroom. And we just go from room to room to room. It's a massive house. No one's there, but it looks like someone lives there, but there's just no people there. Anyway, down the corridor to the backyard, there's a fly screen door. All of a sudden, I hear a door open. And this bloke turns up, large guy with this beard. The best way I can describe him is Santa on crack.
That's what you want?
Yep.
You really want that?
So it's this not so jolly, larger guy with this kind of bikey beard. And he's like, oh, coppers, what's going on? And I'm like, yeah, hello. And he's like, oh, I see you've met. And he mentions a name. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, yeah, she's blind and mute. I'm like, okay.
Information you could have done with 5 minutes
ago. That makes sense. Yeah. I'd like to know why you didn't enter the door. She's fine. She'll just sit in the dark. She'll be right. Yeah, okay. Where's this lady and the child? He goes, oh, you must be talking about the people down the back. And I'm like, oh, all right. So we walk into the back, and there's this random kid in a cot just by himself, just living it up. Couldn't have no care in the world. And I'm like, where's the mother of this child? He goes, oh, mate, she went to hospital. She had surgery today. Which hospital? Tells me the name of the hospital. That's not the name of the hospital that called us. We liaised with the radio. They got the hospitals wrong. So she did turn up. That's her. Crack Santa guy is looking after the kid. And
as you do.
And the unfortunate woman who's in interesting circumstances in the front. So All in all, almost shot what I thought was a zombie.
Yeah.
That would have ended very badly.
Yeah.
I've worked out the Ambos are a lot smarter than us, and they don't go in.
Yes.
And yeah, like, you should really mow your lawn. But it was the weirdest situation, because what the hell do you do? And what made it worse was looking at the Ambos' faces and my partner's face, who were just like in shock when this head just popped up and looked at us.
This episode of the Badge and Beyond podcast is brought to you through the sponsorship of
IC Technology. You can find them on ictechnology.com.au for all things IT and cyber.
And Precision Integrity Services, who you can find at privateinvestigatorsydney.com.au.
There's creepy things that just happen, and yeah, look, I can't say I had anything that was like Halloween. On Halloween, this weird, creepy thing happened. But I remember when I was in sex crimes, we had to do a search warrant on this guy, and this guy was downloading potential. I think he was either number one or number two in the world for the amount of child exploitation material he was downloading.
Yeah.
And we'd gone out to Sydney's kind of northwestern suburbs, and this place is feral. Like, you bring that up, and it's like grass is not mowed. It's like this Darrow-looking house. No one answers when do the police search warrant. We go in, and it's just filth. Like, there is, and if you're, you know, when people say to you, oh, sorry, I haven't tidied up the house. When you're in cops, Ambos, Fires, or something, like, you walk into people's homes and they don't know you're coming, so they don't clean up. And there are some people that just live in a standard that you would never, ever understand. This guy just had trash, like, everywhere. There was, like, lines, like, kind of what they would call desire lines. You know, you go to a park and it doesn't follow the footpath, and yeah, it's kind of like that through the trash. The hallway had trash in it. The bedrooms had trash. There's just stuff everywhere. There's like used food and plates. Like, plates would kind of just like cardboard plates, just like, oh, whatever. Nothing. And there's the odor that comes out of it, but we still got to clear the house. And the girls, like, sex crimes had a lot of female detectives, and I know it sounds stupid, I felt so bad for them, because there's animal feces all over the floor, and they're wearing their nice, you know, kind of high heel shoes and stuff like that, trying to walk through, and I'm like, oh, I'm wearing like boots, and I don't want to walk through it. Anyway, there's like 5 or 8 cats that live in this house, and I'm like, oh. You know, I can already feel.
Why is it always cats?
It's always cats. It's
always cats.
And I'm kind of allergic to cats, so I can already start to feel my sinuses start going, and the smell, and I'm gagging from the smell. I was like, oh, and in the back of my head going, I do not want to have to search this place. Like, this is just going to be disgusting. And so, you know, you move through the house and clear this, clear that. And I walk into this bedroom. I get to the door. I'm like, it's kind of just filled with a bed, a bookshelf, like, bookshelf that runs down here with like lots of ornaments and stuff on it, and like a desk over there. And like, you know, you go around just to make sure there's no one hiding. And I walk down past the bookshelf, and of course, you've got your firearm out because you don't know what you're going to find, right? If someone pops out at you at a search warrant, you want to be able to address the threat. And you know, it's kind of at this low ready position. I come through. And I walk past the shelf with all the ornaments. All of a sudden, I see movement here. And I turn, and this cat comes in, like, whoa! And I'm like, ah! And I'm like, ah! Jeez, I nearly shot this poor cat. And I'm like, oh my gosh! And everyone's like, what's going on? I'm like, I nearly shot a cat. We're good. Room clear. I think I need a break.
Now, there's a call. I almost shot a cat.
I almost shot a cat. No. And look, I don't want to shoot animals. I'm not a fan of that. But yeah, yeah, and just that it's always cats. And you know, as far as Halloween goes, I don't even think it was a black cat. I think it was just this tabby cat. But it sat there so quietly in the corner with all these other ornaments. I just was looking for people. Wasn't expecting an attack cat to come at me.
Yes, it's funny. One of the things that you always worry about in terms of animals is usually the dog, right? So you're going to someone's house and they've got a guard dog, and you're like, it's not the dog's fault, but you also don't want to get bitten, and you don't want to draw your weapon on it.
No.
But you also don't want to die, right? But the cats come out of nowhere, and cats are here. I don't like their attitude.
No, cats are... there's a thing about cats. You know, like, what do they say? dogs have masters, cats have servants.
Yeah, they run this.
And the weirdest, the people that seem to be so far outside of normal always seem to have a horde of cats. The Simpsons have what they, you know, I guess you'd call it the crazy cat lady. Person. When you turn up to a house and you see 100 cats, you just actually, I reckon more than 5 to 10.
It's one of the things that when you sort of first start, noticing when you're in the police, how unfortunate some people live, right? That they're, first of all, there's so many people on their own.
Yeah.
And they're really people that need care, right? Mm. So for whatever reason, whether a family member's been lost or, for whatever, there's been a fallout, and they're leaving these elderly people especially, or people that have special needs, and they've left them in a house on their own.
Yeah.
And like, for example, one of the houses, I remember I went to this, again, it's always dark because who's going to change the light bulb?
Yeah.
It just burns out. They got no one to call on, and then that's it, right? They just stay in darkness.
Yeah.
And then they end up, not leaving their chair or their bed, and the rest of the house is just, it's terrible. And especially this is in the day where there's, we're talking pre-Uber Eats and all the deliveries. So how they're even getting food for themselves, I don't know who's doing that. And it's just seeing the house, outside again, the garden isn't maintained, which then brings rodents and insects and all that kind of stuff. And you walk into these houses and it's just piles of rubbish. Mm. I remember one I walked in, as I walked, I was getting closer and closer to the ceiling. That's how big the mound of rubbish was.
Yeah.
It's just, you're like ducking your head because the ceiling's right there. But then, and there's, when we go to deceased, people had passed away and been dead for a while. It's only like the smell or something that's that got them to call us, and it's sad for the human condition that you get to a point where, there's really no connection with anybody else that you end up sort of dying in that state.
It's funny you mention that because I went to a deceased in the eastern suburbs, and what was so sad about it was again one of those things where they lived in a unit block. There's two people in this unit, and it was like mum and daughter, and mother's passed away. She's been dead for a week.
Yeah.
And the daughter has like a disability and just didn't recognize that mum was deceased, and the adult daughter.
Yeah, very sad.
But no one checked in. No one noticed that they hadn't done their, committed to their normal habits. They just called us because there was a bad odor, because it was summertime and there was flies and there was this and that. And there was, you go inside and this poor lady that's left, she's got all these sanitary products that are just kind of all over the floor and things, mum's not there to look after it and do different things, and it really is tragic in some respects that, we're so disconnected. As a community, we're so inwardly worried about what we've got to achieve for ourselves that we disconnect from other people, and then in the police force, you often don't get to see what happens to that person, but it's not good, right? Like, it's not like their life becomes better. So I always found that to be kind of extremely saddening to see.
That's one of the things I found, because I have the opportunity to do a fair bit of travel with the charity work that I do, and where you don't get that overseas. The communities are so much tighter knit. It would be so offensive to the community that there would be someone living on their own and dying on their own without any, for like weeks, months or whatever, until they're discovered. It just wouldn't happen, and I think, unfortunately, we've lost that sense of community in certain parts of Australia here, especially in Sydney, because it's funny, you're so densely populated, but you're not connected. It's really, really sad.
And I think, to that end, I know there was an abandoned house once we had in that Eastern Area Command. I got called down there in the detectives for a deceased. Again, this house had holes through the floor, and it's on the corner of two main roads, and graffiti all over it, boarded up windows, doors are being kicked in, and here's this guy, middle-aged guy that's passed away, and he's been passed away for a long time.
Yeah.
And I won't go into the specifics of how bad the decomposition was, but it was bad. The thing that gets me is He'd obviously been there for months.
Yeah.
But every other room in that house had a mattress in it and had belongings from people that were, you know, sleeping rough and squatting and doing whatever else.
Yeah.
And no one had... no one had called us. It'd only been like the council or someone had gone to check or do whatever and found it, you know. And it's that point of... There are a lot of lonely people in the world. There's a lot of people that are struggling and, you know... Sometimes you've got to know an agency exists to get help. Sometimes the agencies are so overworked. Sometimes people just don't know where to turn.
Yeah. And I just feel like, you know, being neighbourly is really, really important, you know. Because you generally you know the habits of this person walking in, walking out. And you're like, oh, they haven't gone out to check their mail or they haven't seen them in a couple of days. Just do a door knock and just check and see how everything's going.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was interesting.
Not probably the Halloween special you might have expected, but ladies and gentlemen, it's not every day can be Halloween in the frontline services.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's always something weird and wonderful going on. You would never know that your neighbour tries to raise the dead from their own private vortex in their basement.
Yep.
And there's always the ones you least expect.
Yeah.
So look, whatever you do for or don't do for Halloween. Please enjoy that. And of course, we were only just talking to someone recently about a child protection matter, and one of the predators involved, they were talking about how much effort they go to for Halloween, how they invite all the children around to give them gifts and, you know, lollies and things like this. Always, I guess, just a timely reminder for parents to, if your kids are going trick-or-treating, just go with them. You don't know what level of evil exists sometimes in plain view right next to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do your due diligence. Absolutely. It's an evil world sometimes out there. You can have your fun, but you've got to take your precautions.
Yes. Yep.
Anyway, that's another episode done for us. If you'd like to reach out to us, give us comments on any of the socials or send us an email, our website is
www.privateinvestigatorsydney.com.au.
Thanks again.